Haggai chapter 2, we're going to be reading 20 through the end of the chapter, verse 23. 20, verse 20 through verse 23. Then the word of the Lord came a second time to Haggai on the 24th day of the month, saying, Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I am going to shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the thrones of kingdoms and destroy the power of the kingdoms of the nations, and I will overthrow the chariots and their riders, and the horses and their riders will go down, every one by the sword of another. On that day, declares the Lord of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, my servant, declares the Lord, and I will make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord of hosts. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning, and as we look into this minor prophet that is just absolutely so rich with truth, Lord, I pray that we would be able to receive that truth. Lord, that we would be able to practice that truth. Forgive us, Lord, where we have fallen short, where we fail you on a daily basis. Lord, we know that this book is about priority, and we pray that you would be our priority in our life. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. For the last little bit, I don't know how long it's been, I guess probably for several months, I've been very discouraged, not over church per se, but over just the general state of our nation, what's going on and how things are being ran every day. I told Casey the other day, every day I try to get the highlights on Fox News or Newsmax or whichever one it may be that I read, just to get some highlights. And the news is always, it's always bad. There's not very much that's good on the news. We know that, of course. But the bad that's there seems to be getting a lot worse. It's just not bad. It has gone from bad to worse. And it's discouraging to see those things. And, you know, what it's doing is it's taking your mind off of the Lord and looking to something else. And that has, it truly has, it's discouraged me. And I was reading my text for my lesson this morning, and I've been reading this, and the Lord began to encourage my heart, began to encourage me with His Word. And if there's one thing that Satan wants, is for God's people not to read His Word. God's people not to read God's Word. This is what he wants, okay? The Lord wants us, we know, to read his word. And I love the way Haggai here, this chapter, the end of it, I loved how it starts out in verse 20, because this is going to be, this is the second time that on the same day that the Lord prophesies to, or the Lord gives to Haggai a prophecy. So he's already given one, and if you go back, you'll see where that starts. In about verse 10 of chapter 2, you see where the third prophecy starts in verse 10 on the 24th day. And then you're going to see here in verse 20 where the fourth prophecy begins on the 24th day. And so on the third prophecy, he's speaking to the people. And then on the fourth prophecy, he is giving it now to one person and one person only. You need to understand that. One person and one person only. He is giving it to the person, the governor, Zerubbabel. This is the second message given by Haggai on the same day. This message to Zerubbabel only was a message of encouragement. It was a message of hope. A message of messianic wonder. And I find great comfort in it this morning. And I've been discouraged. And when I opened my Bible and began to read out of the book of Haggai, this minor prophet, two chapters in the Old Testament that nobody ever talks about. I read verse 20, and this is what it says. This is what Zerubbabel needed, this is what I needed, and this is what you need. Listen to what it says. Then the word of the Lord came a second time to Haggai on the 24th day of the month. The word of the Lord came. The Lord knew exactly what Zerubbabel needed, just as he knew what the people needed. And when I read this, it encouraged me because he knew that I needed it badly. You ever been in a position where you were just in dire straits and you just needed encouragement? By show of hands this morning, anybody? Am I alone? Okay, so we see this, and the word of the Lord comes to Haggai then to speak to this lowly governor. In comparison to the nations around him, Zerubbabel was the governor of a very small number of people. And those nations were beginning to close in around this small number of people. Well, you say, well, no, 50,000 people is not that much to sneeze at with the first wave that returned. In comparison to the nations that were surrounding, yeah, it was. Especially with no infrastructure. Especially with people that didn't know their head from the hole in the ground. They came back out of Babylonian captivity. They came back to start rebuilding on a temple, and they were working. How are they going to protect themselves? You see what I'm saying? Zerubbabel was in a position as governor where he was discouraged. He had people closing in on him. Opposition all the time. People that didn't want to work, and now they had been promised that since they had started work that they were going to be blessed. So it was beginning to look up. But Zerubbabel needed this message. The people there, they were scared. They could have thought and even did think that the temple that they were building in comparison to Solomon's was some dismal little feat, something that was insignificant. Zerubbabel had a daunting task ahead of him, and that was to lead the people to finish the temple, to lead the people to worship, to lead the people to put God as a priority in their life. And he was discouraged at it. I get discouraged at it in this day and age. From your pastor to you, I'm telling you right now, I need encouragement. I get discouraged. Because this life is terribly difficult. And doing the work of the Lord and doing God's work nowadays is not doing anything but getting harder. Temple work, church work is not doing anything but getting harder. You see the similarities between Zerubbabel and what's going on today? They're all over the place. I mean, you can compare them. They are all over the place. It wasn't easy for him then, and it's not easy for us now. He was discouraged then, and the people are discouraged now. The general consensus of the church nowadays is discouraged. Zerubbabel undoubtedly needed this message just as I need it. And just as you need it. In 520 BC, the political climate was dangerous. Kingdoms were coming against kingdoms, and I'm talking major kingdoms. I'm not talking about 50,000 people. I'm talking millions of people. The political climate was dangerous. It discouraged the people. It caused the temple to grind to a halt. The people reclused. And the blessings of God were taken away. Why? Because their priorities shifted from serving God to self-preservation. And that is exactly what is happening today in our society. Tell me it ain't. Tell me it ain't. It is. That's what's happening today. People have become discouraged. Now they are reclusing. They're reclusing. And I'll tell you what happens when you recluse. And you make sure you tell your family and friends this too. Because this is exactly what the enemy wants. Amen. He wants you to recluse. Yes. Yes. Because you know what happens if he can get you to recluse? If he can get you alone, then he can get in your mind and he can get in your head and he can take you down to Chinatown. If that wolf can isolate that sheep, he can kill it. And this is what he wants. People are discouraged. And there's no time like the present to be with God's people. More than ever, right now. So Haggai comes here and he gives this message. And when he gives this message, it's just right after he's given a message to the people who had repented and were promised blessings if they continue to serve the Lord. Now it comes the message to Zerubbabel. And I want you to notice first, God's people and even God's leaders nowadays. And I want y'all to understand this. Y'all need to pray for me and you need to pray for the church leaders in this country. We are in dire need of encouragement today. In dire need. Verse 20 states this. Then the word of the Lord came a second time to Haggai on the 24th day of the month, saying, the word of the Lord came. As it came to me the other day, it was already written. It's right here contained in God's word. It came to me and it encouraged my heart. And I need us to see this morning that there is power in the word of God. Power. There's power in it. And I'm going to give you some stats here for just a minute. If you got a phone, I want you to Google them later. Please do not do that now. If you ever Google stats while I'm preaching, that will drive me crazy. Don't do that now. Let me give them to you. According to the Barna Institute, in the year 2000, you know I graduated 2000, 2001. That's when I graduated. Some of y'all looking at me like, man, he's young. Some of y'all is like, that dude is old. 20 years ago, I graduated. So I know what it's talking about when it says 20 years ago. In the year 2000, those that claimed to be practicing evangelicals that were devoted to the Lord in the church. I don't know how they got these numbers. The Barna Institute is good about getting numbers. I don't know how they do it. Go check it yourself. But it was 45%. 45% of practicing evangelicals that considered themselves to be active and in the church serving the Lord in the year 2000. In 20 years, 20, 21 years, that number has dropped to 25%. 25%. Research went on to conclude that the 20% drop in 20 years was due to a lack of daily Bible reading and meditation on God's Word. The simple fact of meditating on God's Word, and reading God's Word daily. The 25% that were still going strong were those that were still reading and meditating on God's Word. There's power in it. When it came to Zerubbabel, it encouraged him. It encouraged him. Listen to what verse 20 says. It tells us that the word of the Lord came to Haggai to give then to Zerubbabel. And the good news for us is that the word of the Lord has already came and is here. It is here. We have it right in front of us. And our Lord has a message for His people, and it is contained in His Word. And I've heard people all the time say, I want to hear God speak. I want to hear God speak. And you know what I'm about to tell you. Open His Word and hear Him speak all over the place. Let Him speak to your circumstances. Let Him speak to your life. And I'm guilty as charged in this too. Whether it be my life or my finances or my priorities or my marriage or my children, whatever it may be, there is an answer for every circumstance in our life in God's Word. But we have to pick it up and read it. And you say, well, I know that, Pastor. I know that. You say, I know what you're telling me to do. I just don't feel like doing it. Because my priorities are different, you see. If your priorities are different, then you just don't feel like doing it. Whether you tell me you don't feel like doing it or not, if you got different priorities, you're saying you just don't feel like doing it. If the Lord should be first in our life and He is not, then that's what you're saying. I don't feel like doing it. I ain't got time to do it. Well, then you'll continue to get the same results. Right or wrong. And that is the definition of insanity. Verse 21, it says, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I am going to shake the heavens and the earth. He tells Haggai, tell Zerubbabel. He says, look up, my child. This is what he's telling him. Look up, my child, because the heavens and the earth are fixing to quake and they're fixing to shake. Something is fixing to happen. Remember, this was 520 years before Christ came. We know that this prophecy, and we know that what he's talking about in this shaking is referring to the coming of Christ. He is telling Zerubbabel to look, the only one that can make the heaven and the earth shake is the King of heaven, Christ Jesus. He is God Almighty. He is the only one that can do this. There's no other king that can make heaven shake and that can make earth shake. No other king. But the living God. He's the only one. He's telling Zerubbabel, I am still on the throne. Remember, Zerubbabel was discouraged. He's telling him, I am still on the throne. In a little while, remember back in verse 6 in chapter 2, he says, in a little while, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything that's in them. I'm fixing to shake it, baby. Now here, he says it again. And what he is doing is he is encouraging Zerubbabel because Zerubbabel was discouraged. He's telling him, I'm still on the throne. And he's telling us the exact same thing today. I am still on the throne. The country's falling apart. You better believe it. Jesus is still on the throne. The world's waxing worse with sin, and sin is abounding more and more and more, but grace abounds much more than that. The powers of darkness seem to be growing, but we know that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Five times in three verses. Write this down. Five times in three verses, the Lord tells Zerubbabel, I am going or I will. You reckon he was planning on doing it? Absolutely. I am going or I will. And here at Grace Baptist Church, I would hope to think that we praise God for the I shalls and I wills that are contained in Scripture. Because these are promises to the saints. And this, he is promising Zerubbabel. And he is promising him some things here that we're going to look at. So y'all just bear with me as I finish this out, because I don't want to have another sermon in Haggai for a long time. And I'm going to finish it today. So just, if you need to go to the bathroom, do it. You're going to catch the rest on the flip side. Let's move on. So he says five times in three verses here where we see these I shalls or I wills or I am going to. The Lord tells the prophet these I wills to tell Zerubbabel to lead the Jews. He says, Zerubbabel, you have been called to lead the Jews. This is your responsibility, man, to lead them, to show them that there is hope of redemption. Remember, this is what it's all about, redemption, all the way through the Word of God. It just ain't about building some temple. This is about the hope of redemption that is to come to the people that has already came. And that will come back again. And His name is Jesus. And Zerubbabel was to lead the people to that. The prophet is affirming. Listen to me, church. The prophet here is affirming here to the governor that soon that there would be a wonderful work of God which would shake the heavens and the earth.
Yes, yes.
And that wonderful work of God was sent to a Virgin Mary.
Yes, yes.
To the Virgin Mary into a stable by the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
The only thing that we can apply this to when we look at this passage of Scripture. In verse 21. Just as we did, and I believe it was in verse 6. In chapter 2. In verse 6. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once in a little while I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth and sea and the dry land. And it goes on and it goes on and it goes on. The only thing that we can apply this to is the coming of Christ. The first time. 520 years from right here. Christ would come. This is the only thing that it applies to. Let's move on. What the Lord is telling Zerubbabel here in this passage of Scripture is not to lose hope. Zerubbabel, don't lose hope. I'm still on the throne. You're going to lead the people. I'm still on the throne. Zerubbabel, it's going to work out. The people are going to work. You already see my blessings beginning to flow. Zerubbabel, don't lose hope. Keep doing what you've got to do. And this morning I have to tell you this, that we can't lose hope either. When it comes to kingdom work, we can't lose hope. When it comes to building for Jesus Christ, working for Jesus Christ, in your heart, I want you to answer this question, not by show of hands and not out loud. In your heart, I want you to answer this question. Are you working for Christ or for yourself? Ask it. Answer it. Are you working for Christ or are you working for yourself? We can't lose hope. The Scripture teaches us very clearly that He left and that He is going to come back quickly to receive us unto Himself. In verse 21 it says, I am going to shake the heavens and the earth, and I promise you today that when the Lord came the first time, the heavens and the earth shook. We know that according to Scripture. When He died and was buried and raised again, the heavens and the earth shook. And when He comes back the second time at the trump of God, we know that the heavens and everything under the on the planet is going to shake. This is referring to the Messiah. And He is absolutely coming back. And this is why that we have to make sure that kingdom work is top priority. And I am guilty as charged, man. Guilty. Verse 22, and He says, I will overthrow the thrones of kingdoms and destroy the power of the kingdoms of the nations. And I will, here's another I will. It started with an I will, and He continues with an I will. Overthrow the chariots and the riders and the horses, and their riders will go down, every one by the sword of another. He's saying, don't worry, Zerubbabel, governor. Though it seems that the nations are closing in around you, though it seems that things are beginning to bubble up, do not worry. Your efforts, the work that is going on for the temple or for the church, if I might add, the efforts will not be in vain. Continue to do the work. And this is one thing that we have to remember as well. We think things are beginning to get tough. My friend in Nigeria is experiencing real persecution. We give him $120 a month. And he is experiencing right now Islamic real persecution. And it's going to get worse here in America. I'm just telling you the truth. But I want you to not lose hope. And the reason why is because the kingdom work must go on. It must continue to proceed. The completion of the temple has to be done. And what Haggai is telling the prophet here is that no matter what's going on around you, no matter what forces are coming against you, that nothing is going to impede the work of the temple. Nothing will. The Lord will take care of that. He would soon see the church thrive as fail. And we know that the church will thrive as fail. And it's going to. So press on, Zerubbabel. Press on and build. He says that to me. He says it to you. Press on and build. The Lord does not want, He didn't want it then and He doesn't want it today, His church in a dishonorable state, does He? He does not want His church in a dishonorable state. He didn't then. This is why He told them to get to work working. And He doesn't today. This is why He tells us to go out and to preach the gospel. It's all over the place. 23. This is the last verse. On that day, declares the Lord of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, my servant, declares the Lord, and I will make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord of hosts. Now this passage of Scripture has Jesus all over it, and we're going to break that down. And I could do it tonight, but it's going to take me 10 minutes to do it, and I've got just a little bit of time, so we're going to do that. And this is what He's saying here in 23. Anytime a signet ring was given, signet rings were used. They were either carried around the neck or they were worn on the finger of the person that had them, and they were never to be left off of that person's person. They always had to have them on them. They were people that were in charge, and as soon as a document was rolled up and sealed, they would dip it in wax, or they would put wax on the paper sealing it, and they would take their signet ring, say it be Jesus Christ, it would be JC, and it would be JC on that document, and anybody who tore that open would know that that's been tampered with. And so here we have Haggai telling Zerubbabel that he was going to be the Lord's signet ring for the people. He was going to be high in authority. He might have been nothing in the eyes of the rulers of the nations that were all around, but he was going to be the Lord's signet ring for the people. As a matter of fact, what he says goes. If he seals it, it's going to happen. This is what he is encouraging Zerubbabel with. He was highly favored and highly exalted and held in high esteem in the eyes of God the Father. And all of these things that he's speaking about with Zerubbabel had nothing to do with his own skill or his own power or his own intellect or none of those things. It had everything to do with God's election on his life. Listen to what it says. "And I will make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you." I have chosen you. Before he was called governor, and now he's given one of the highest titles that a person in God's kingdom could be given. And that's called a servant. That's called a bondslave. Listen to the text. "On that day," declares the Lord of hosts, "I will take you, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, my servant." So he's going to be the Lord's servant. He's going to be his ambassador. He's going to have all authority in the land because he's chosen and precious and elect of God. Now, as I close, this is what I want to do. I'm going to give you, and you're going to say, "My goodness, Brother Matthew, you keep going." I'm going to give you 5 points. Truly, I'm going to give you 5 points this morning to show you. Don't breathe deep and don't be blowing. I'm going to give you 5 points. I am going to do this to show you how Zerubbabel represents Christ Jesus. 5 points. All right. The first one, very quickly, and this is very simple. He was actually in the lineage of Christ Jesus. He was to be on the throne of David. And you see that in Matthew in chapter 1 and verse 12. He is out of the throne of David, or out of the tribe of Judah. And so you see right off the bat, there is a kingly thing going on here over people with this Zerubbabel. The second thing that I want you to see is Zerubbabel was the governor over the people of God. So Christ Jesus is as well. Christ Jesus absolutely is the governor over the people of God. And you know where I'm going with this. Isaiah in chapter 9, 6 and 7. It says it very clearly that the church or the government of the Lord will rest on the shoulders of one named Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to this. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness. Christ is absolutely, without a question or a shadow of a doubt, the governor over the church. There is no getting around it. He carries us. He is our head. We are the body. He carries us. He is the governor, just as Zerubbabel was here in the book of Haggai. And so there's a foreshadowing there of Zerubbabel to Christ Jesus being the governor. The third thing you see was Zerubbabel was also called my servant. So Christ Jesus was the servant of the Most High God. He was God, but he took on the form of a what? Servant to come to us, to redeem a people unto himself. Mark in chapter 10 and verse 45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Just as Zerubbabel became a servant for the Most High God, the Lord of hosts, Jehovah, just as he became the servant there, that we know that Jesus Christ is the servant as well. John chapter 17, my favorite chapter in all the Bible, in verse 4 it says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have accomplished the work. What is he talking about? The work is the work of a servant to his master. And the Son was a servant to his Father. And the work was the work of redemption from his Son to us. John 17 and 4, he says, I have finished, or I have accomplished the work which thou gavest me to do. So we see he was in the lineage. We see that he was the governor. We see that he was the servant. The fourth thing I want you to see is that Zerubbabel was made like a signet ring. One of authority. One able to seal an important document or decree. And it was so where it was done. So Christ Jesus was given even more authority than that. He became the Father's signet ring to seal the hearts of men. He became the Father's signet ring. Christ has the authority and does seal the hearts of men. And I praise God this morning that he has sealed my heart. I praise him because there's a mark on my heart that says, and I believe it, just it may be silly to you, but I don't think it is to me, that it says JC on my heart. In other words, he owns me, and nobody can touch me, nobody can open me but him. And then the last day, I'll be his. So Christ has the authority and does seal the hearts of men. He takes his ring of love and he impresses it upon the hearts of men, sealing us for his glory, according to Ephesians in chapter 1 and verse 13. In him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Only our Lord can seal us for eternity. And so, the fourth way that he, Zerubbabel, foreshadows Christ Jesus is that he became the Lord's signet ring. And the Lord Jesus, we know, is absolutely the Lord, the Father's signet ring. The fifth thing that I want you to see this morning before I'm done. Just as Zerubbabel was chosen and precious in the eyes of God, to accomplish the Father's will, so Christ Jesus was as well. He says, for I have chosen you. Just as Zerubbabel was chosen of God, the Father could only choose and elect the best of the best to redeem and to fulfill his purpose. And that was his Son. That was his Son. He chose the Son, his most precious, his most perfect, and his only begotten Son to redeem the church unto himself. You can't get any better and any more chosen than that. Jesus was the chosen one. Just as Zerubbabel was head over all, we know that Christ Jesus is most definitely the head over all the church. In closing this morning, we must must get our priorities right. We must get our priorities back on the Lord's work. We must get our priorities back on the Lord, period. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. That's what the book of Haggai is about. That's what the four messages of Haggai are about. 520 years before Christ comes, this prophet preaches. And he's preaching the gospel to these people to get it right. To get it right. And it's time to do God's work. It is. It's time to do God's work. The fields are truly white with harvest. They're ready to be plucked. They're ready to be gathered in. We just need workers to go out and to do it. That's all we got to do. Get workers to go out and to do it. Now I want you to listen to me for just a second as I close. I don't give altar calls. We give invitations. But I never put an emphasis on coming down here, because Jesus Christ went to the altar and done away with it. But this morning, if Christ Jesus has saved you and you've never made it public to the church and you've never publicly confessed it before God's people, this morning I pray that you would. I pray that you'd come right down here this morning and share it with the church. This morning, if you don't know the Lord, and the Lord has spoken to your heart, showing you your sin, showing you that you are in fact lost and in need of a Savior, not based upon some funny feeling or emotion, but based upon the written Word of God, if you know that you're a sinner and in need of a Savior, trust in Jesus Christ by faith this morning and you will be saved. And come and make it known to the church. If the Lord has called you into ministry and it doesn't seem like those things are happening anymore, but if He has called you into ministry and He has laid on your heart some form of ministry, pray about it. And bring it before the church. And let us pray with you. And if you're saved this morning and just need to simply repent because of sin in your life, I pray this morning that you would come and do that. Do it at your pew. Do it here. I don't care where you do it. I just pray that you get your heart right with the Lord. As we have an invitation this morning, I pray that you would come. Let's stand, church. Father, we come to you and we love you. We thank you for this opportunity to read this book of Haggai.